You're back with Colorado Matters. I'm Zachary Barr. The Denver Center Theater Company puts a premium on helping new plays come to the stage. And premiering tomorrow, Ed Downloaded by playwright Michael Mitnick. It runs through February 17th. It's a romantic comedy that asks what happens when someone else tries to alter your memories. CPR's Elaine Grant speaks with Mitnick and director Sam Buntrock.
Thanks for having us. It's nice to meet you, Michael and Sam.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Michael, Ed Downloaded has been described as two-thirds play, half movie, and it's a romantic comedy, and it's science fiction. Can you just describe its essence for us?
Well, I think there's some funny math in that description. But what it really is a piece for the stage in which I'd say a large portion of it is also a movie. It centers around a young man named Ed who is dying. It's set in a time like our own, but in the play it's described as a different now in which there is a procedure, a boutique procedure called mind downloading, in which you download your entire brain at a place called a forevertary, and you're allowed to loop between 1 and 10 memories from your life. And there are two restrictions. One is that no one is allowed to look at which memories you select. And the second restriction is no one is allowed to connect a camera and microphone or speaker to the downloaded mind and thus make the mind aware that it is in the box, thus creating a kind of immortality. Instead, it's like a carousel, which is the metaphor we use in the play, that you are able to experience 10 of your favorite or most profound moments from your life on repeat as though you are living them for the first time. And without giving too much away, Ed's fiance does look inside the box and is quite surprised at what she finds.
It's a complicated premise. It's hard to explain, but it's very funny. I did see it the other day. The Denver Center Theater Company came to you, Michael, and commissioned you to write a play. Tell us what you thought when they said the big requirement that you had to incorporate video.
When I received the commission, I was just graduating from drama school, and I was just excited to receive a commission because I thought maybe I'll be able to pay my rent for a month or two. But when I began, the restriction didn't feel like a restriction. It felt like a challenge. And I wanted to make sure that the incorporation of video was not just an easy way to establish location. For instance, I didn't want to put screens along the back wall of the stage and then have 90 scenes where we go from a park to a zoo to a beach to a spaceship. Instead, I wanted to make the two integral and ensure that you couldn't do one, meaning the live action, without the other, the video element. And after a lot of thought and exploring some other ideas that I had been mulling for plays, including life extension and mind downloading, the play began to take shape in my mind, and then it felt like a good unison.
Sam, when you first read Michael's script, what did you think about taking on this challenge?
Well, when I first read Michael's script, he'd first discussed it with me without mentioning projection at all or the fact that there was multimedia involved. We were having a prolonged discussion about romantic comedy and the idea of a love triangle, and we both are huge fans of the James L. Brooks film Broadcast News, which is a relationship comedy. At the heart of it, there's a relationship comedy where there are three people and who's going to get the girl. And so we love that idea that you experience a story and a love story where actually both options are viable, and who actually is who does the person end up belonging to, correctly belonging to, if that makes sense. And so when I read it and it said on the front page, this uses projection, I was somewhat sort of somewhat nervous because I've used projection in theater before and significantly, and I have avoided it ever since because it's such a challenge and because I feel that it's become a very uneasy part of contemporary theatre design. I don't believe it's normally used correctly. And so the idea of a play that relies heavily on it was a daunting thing for me to read, and especially because I had this great developing relationship with a playwright who I greatly admire. The last thing I wanted to do was sort of say, your play sucks. Actually, what blew me away was that he's found a way of using multimedia in theater in a conventional narrative form that allows multimedia to represent character. I think that's what's so exciting about it, is that to not give the game away, but that once these memories are downloaded, they represent the character who you've spent a portion of the evening with. And I think that's what the great success of the play is, that emotional journey continues, even though if you think about it, it's so unconventional in how it's successful, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. And if I can give even this little bit away, the first act is more of a conventional play. You've got three characters interacting at one time. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of back and forth in time going on. It's a pretty straight romantic comedy with lots of laughs. And then the second act is very unconventional. This was in staged readings at the New Play Summit last year. When you actually read the script, the second act is almost unreadable. Can you describe that?
Sure. The script is unreadable, and I think not just because I wrote it. You have to physically turn the page, rotate the page into landscape mode, and the page is written in three columns, where the outer two columns represent two screens, which we have on stage, and the center column is all live action. So when you see it, you'll see three character names. One of the characters is named Celine, and you'd say Celine video.
Celine's the actor on stage.
Yes. And you see Celine screen one, Celine live, Celine screen two, and you see her acting with herself. Changing the words coming out of her mouth in memories. And in reading it, you have to keep three stories simultaneously going in a visual way in your mind. So even in writing it, I would have to stand up from the keyboard and walk around my room and get some fresh air because it felt like three games of chess at once.
If you're just joining us, this is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Elaine Grant, sitting in for Ryan Warner. I'm speaking with Michael Mitnick, who wrote the play Ed Downloaded, and the show's director, Sam Buntrock. The Denver Center Theater Company production of Ed Downloaded premieres tomorrow night. Is this the question at the heart of the play? We have our memories. They are sort of fundamentally a part of us. But in the play, this sort of science fiction construct is that somebody else can change those memories. In other words, Ed has chosen his 10 favorite memories. Celine, his fiance, is not very happy when she discovers what they are and tries to, in her words, correct them.
Right.
What are you trying to say here?
I think themes that are running through this play that I do hope are communicated to an audience, and they can make of it what they will, are just standard human emotions and relationships of love, of betrayal, of heartbreak, of how we remember things. And most of all, what I hope will happen is when the audience walks or drives home, they start to think about their own lives. Mm-hmm. And not whether or not they would have their minds downloaded. That's certainly an interesting conversation for anyone to have. But what memories would they pick? And would that be at odds with the person who is asking them this question? Can you boil down a life to a few moments?
And I think there's a very important distinction that has to be made. That one can, the idea in the play is that you can have a look and you can plug in and you can see the 10 memories that a person has picked, but you don't know why they've picked them. That gap of understanding is very important. The reason why we pick these things is so personal and so fundamental to who we are. In culture now, in society now, there's this whole sense of there's this parallel that we've been discussing, like with Facebook and all those social media, and this sense that someone's Facebook page represents who they are, and you know exactly what they're feeling and exactly who that person is by just having a look at their Facebook page. But that's not the truth. That's not the person. And so what one of these characters does is she's so desperate to know what's at the heart of the other character
of
that she
Ed.
Goes yeah, of Ed, that she goes in and she has a look at the 10 memories, but that's not going to tell her what she wants to know. The memories are not the person. The memories just are the things that the person has picked, and why they've picked them is not information available to her.
If you could save your memories, would you do it?
I don't know. Ask me at the end of my life.
How about you, Sam?
I think so. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why?
Because it's such a specific idea, that the idea that you can relive the memories without being aware that you're actually reliving them. There are, I wouldn't say I've got 10 yet, but there are a number of moments in my life that I wouldn't mind living in. So, yes.
Thank you both for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's CPR's Elaine Grant speaking with Ed Downloaded playwright Michael Mitnick and the show's director, Sam Buntrock. Ed Downloaded premieres tomorrow at Denver's Ricketson Theater.